And let's remain standing and open our Bibles this evening to Romans chapter 6. And reading from verse 1 through 11, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we humbly, Lord, would approach thy word tonight, believing, Father, this could be one of the last communions that we partake together in this earth. Believing things are rapidly winding up, Father, for the going home. We pray that our souls, our body, our spirit would be found ready when you decide, Lord, it is time to take that flight. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves to the going home. We ask, Father, that you would wash us by the washing of water, by the word. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, your Son, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Paul is speaking here of a total change in the way in which we think, which can only come by being born again. And this can only be done through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He did not just stop and say Jesus Christ, but one must acknowledge that this same Jesus Christ is both Lord and Savior. Yes, Lord first, and then Savior. For if he's not Lord, then he's not your Savior. And if he's not your Savior, then how can he be your Lord? Now, these words spoken by the Apostle Paul are words of admonishment. Paul is declaring to the people that we cannot live unto God until we first die to ourselves. For to live unto God without having first died to ourselves is to live a hypocritical life. Because by nature we are sinners, born in sin, shaped in iniquity, and coming forth to the world speaking lies. That is the nature of this flesh. To sin is in our natural chemistry, because the bodies of this death came forth from an act of the flesh, and therefore must gravitate toward acts in the flesh. And the spirit in our flesh that we were born with, which is only allowed by God, as Brother Branham said, the natural spirit that you have was only allowed by God. But the spirit you receive when you're born again, that is the one that's given by God. It's God's spirit in you, his life in you. If you turn with me to John chapter 3, and reading at verse 1 to 7, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot understand it. See? Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee that ye must be born again. Now, if you notice, when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, Nicodemus still can't get it through his mind what he's talking about. So finally, Jesus comes around to this point. He says, look, he says, there's a birth of the flesh and there's a birth of the spirit. A man is, he says, unless you're born of the flesh and of the spirit. In other words, unless you're born of the spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. You cannot see or understand or perceive the things of God. Now we could turn to 1 Corinthians chapter, or 2 Corinthians, I believe it is, chapter 1. Let me see here. First Corinthians chapter 2. Paul says, And brethren, when I came unto you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save this, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith, your revelation, should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. See, in the vindicating presence of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. We speak wisdom among them that are mature. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world, that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, except the spirit of a man is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. In other words, look, as long as you're a human being, you understand human beings. As long as you're a man, you understand men. Of course, that's why they say that men can't understand women. Women can't understand men. But he's saying this, that it takes the spirit of a man to understand the thoughts of a man. But how can the thoughts of a man, how can the spirit of a man understand the things of God? He can't do it unless the Spirit of God is in the man. See? So, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man that's in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but save the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now we find then that Jesus is saying the same thing. Nicodemus, I'm telling you that no man can understand, no man can see, no man can understand the kingdom of God unless he has the Spirit of God. Unless he's born again. And Nicodemus says, born again? You mean I got to crawl up into my mother's womb? He says, no, you've got sex on the brain. You might have been born the first time by a physical sexual act, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a spiritual birth. The spirit has got to be born again. That's why Brother Bram said, God doesn't have grandchildren. He's got children. Every one of you has got to be born again. Men, women, and children. See? Now, notice then, if we go back to John chapter 3, and reading verse 5, Jesus answered, saying, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Unless a man is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You must be born again. You must have not only a natural birth, but a birth of the spirit as well. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 5. And reading from verse 3 through 8. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only. In other words, not by a natural birth only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, which is God's Spirit. God's life, see? And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Now, notice that John tells us here, number one, he says that the effect of the love of God, the effect that the love of God will have upon our lives, is that we will hold to God's Word. There's something about God's Word that's unbreakable to you. It's everything to you. And notice in this example John uses, he defines birth as being water, blood, and spirit. Water, blood, and life. Then when we are born again, there must also be water, blood, and life. But the second man, remember, the first man is earthy, right? But the second man is the Lord from heaven. Now, let's hold our finger here in 1 John 5, because we're going to come back to it. And let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Reading 47 through 49. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed. Now, the image of the earthy is water, blood, and spirit. The water breaks first. Then the placenta bag comes forth with the child and the blood. And then comes forth the life, the baby. Brother Branham said from Questions and Answers, he said, what difference is it between body, soul, and spirit? He said, the body is the flesh that you look at that must rot. It was born by sexual desire of father and mother. It must rot. It's no good. Therefore, in the new birth, in the resurrection, when you're brought forth again in a new body, it'll be God's creative power that'll speak like He did to Adam, and you'll come forth. That's why, brothers and sisters, a tremendous thing to be standing here when you get a body change. Because those that died first, their body rots. They're released from the body of this death. But yours and my release will be at the time of a change. Oh, you know, you can't go by feelings, but what a tremendous burden will be lifted when this body receives its change. From Be Certain of God, he said, when a baby is born in the natural birth, first thing comes forth from the mother is water, then blood, then spirit. When Jesus died at the cross, he gave what it constitutes to make the new birth. Water, blood, and spirit. All things of the natural types of spiritual, or the spiritual types to natural, either way. Now let's go back to 1 John 5 again. And let's read this. He says, verse 4, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Not our flesh, but even our faith. What is faith? It's revelation. So it's your revelation that overcomes the world. It's not your body. It's the revelation. Then he says, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Remember, you cannot understand the things of God unless the Spirit of God is in you. Therefore, you cannot witness to the things of God unless the Spirit of God is in you. Now, there's many people out there preaching their little sermon saying, I am a witness because they saw certain things in Brother Branham's life. But they're not a witness because they have no clue as to what they're witnessing. How can a blind man be a witness to something unless he could hear it? But faith cometh by hearing. And if the man has no spiritual eyes, then he cannot have ears to hear as well. You see? So if a man is deaf, dumb, and blind, and he's in the room, and a murder takes place, how can he identify the murderer? He can't. He can't be a witness then, can he? Because there's no understanding. Can a little child of 1 or 2 years old be a witness? Only if they have a high intellect to be able to understand and differentiate between people lined up. But a little 1-year-old child doesn't have that ability. It has no understanding. Therefore, it cannot be a witness. See? Now, notice then he says, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Now, Brother Branham said, when a baby is born in the natural, first thing comes forth from the mother is water, then blood, then spirit. When Jesus died at the cross, he gave what it constitutes to make the new birth. Water, blood, and spirit. All things of the natural types of spiritual, or the spiritual types of natural. From Questions and Answers, page 945, Brother Branham said, they said, dear Brother Branham, will all the sons and daughters of true-born, again, believers be saved? He said, no, brother. No, they sure won't be. See? As I copied David Duplessis on this remark, God doesn't have grandchildren, see? Just sons and daughters. See, they'll have to be born again just exactly like their father and mother was born of the Spirit. See, that's what makes a man a new person. It is because he's born again, he's reborn. His first birth brings him a natural man on the earth. His second birth brings him a spiritual man of heaven. See, it changes him. It changes his soul, not his outward conscience, but not his outward being, his senses. He still feels and smells and tastes and hears. But his inward parts, his desires, what motivates him, has been changed to God. Not changed by God, but changed to God. Now, what does that mean? Why would he say changed to God and not changed by God? Anybody want to take a stab at that? Good. That's very good. In other words, your focus has been changed. It's directed. It's coming to what? If you walk in what? The light. As He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin, right? But let's go to 1 John, or John chapter 1, and let's read verse 12 and 13. We'll kind of sort this out a little bit. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. Now this I say, that every one of you... Oh, excuse me, that's the wrong chapter. Okay. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So, going back to what Brother Branham says, but his inward parts, his desires, what motivates him, has been changed to God. And yet we see John says, but you're born of God. Now, it is God that does the birthing. It is God's Spirit who quickens. And when that quickening takes place, all your desires, all your motivations, all your inward parts are changed. Because there's a new life coming forth. And it's directed toward God. Now, chapter 3, John chapter 3, in verse 21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God, that they are performed in God, or have their source in God. You can't help but come to the light. Therefore, when Brother Branham says his inward parts, his desires, what motivates him has been changed to God, you can't help but come to the light, to God. See? That's what John says. Now, notice also in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1, in verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So if it is the word that brings forth the new birth, and Brother Branham says, your motives, your desires has been changed toward God, then that life which came forth by the Word lives by the Word, because it is the Word. Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. Now, let's look also at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Now that word commit, if you've got a Scofield Bible, you notice it does not initiate sin. You might get trapped into it, but you won't willfully do it. You don't willfully go about to sin, but you get trapped by sin. In fact, when Brother Vail actually preached this in Brother Branham's pulpit, back in the early 60s, Brother Branham said that changed his whole life. He told Brother Vail, he said, that sermon did more for me. Because notice, he says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, does not initiate sin. For his seed, God's seed, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. He cannot disbelieve because he is born of God. That answers why you may flub up quite a bit. But you don't go out trying to flub up. See? Because you can't. If you have God's seed in you, you have no desire to go out to do wrong purposely. But because you're still in the body of this death, you're still going to make an awful lot of boo-boos. Like Brother Branham said, this body is ordained to rot. It's got to rot. You got to die out to it. Let's go to 1 John 5 again and look at verse 4. He says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Now let's skip up to 18. "We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, disbelieveth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not." Satan cannot get to your soul. He cannot get to that inner man. It's already been sealed. Now the outer man, which perishes daily, can make mistakes. David was a man after God's own heart. But David didn't go out looking to find Bathsheba. He didn't go out looking. But what happened? David was standing up on his balcony and he looked down, and Bathsheba was down below in the courtyard someplace in her own house, but whatever it was, maybe up on her housetop. But she was naked. And so David's libido took over. The testosterone took over. And he lost his ability to think. Then David, what did he do? He committed adultery. Now the Bible tells us that David was a man after God's own heart. So if God is the same, he changes not, that even while David was in sin, he was still a man after God's own heart. God was not then looking down upon the sin. He's looking down upon the sacrifice that David laid out and the seed that laid there and God's word, which said that through his seed would Messiah come. Now that doesn't excuse David, because whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And David reaped a whirlwind. But the fact remains this, that God cannot change. And if his seed is in you, then there will be a desire to please him. There will be a desire to hold to his word. But you're still, because you're in the body of this death, you're still going to mess up. Occasionally. Not habitually, but occasionally. And that's where the blood of Jesus Christ is. Because when God looks through the blood, he sees you as perfect as he saw his son. Maybe tomorrow morning, if my daughters would remind me, I'll bring that illustration, because it's good every once in a while to bring that out, where we have the red book with the white cover. You remember seeing that? And we have the red clear plastic. And when you look at that red book that's got the white letters and you look through the red, the whole book is white. You cannot see the letters. You cannot distinguish between what is white and what is red. It says perfectly white, and the more light you shed upon that, the brighter and brighter and brighter that white becomes. Keep that blood of Jesus Christ up before you. Now, from questions and answers, Brother Brown said, when you use the expression that if we do not believe the word, we will be eternally separated from Christ, do you mean the foolish virgin will live eternally, but they will be separated from the New Jerusalem where Christ will dwell with the bride? Here are those who do not have the Holy Spirit, born again as the Scripture speaks of being born again. If the natural birth requires water, blood, and spirit, does not the spiritual birth require all three stages of grace before the person is truly born again? And Brother Bram says, absolutely. I just explained that this morning, the same thing. You've got to have all stages. You're begotten of the Spirit, just like a baby's begotten in the womb of a mother, but not born until they receive the Holy Ghost. That's right. You're born then. You're not converted. You're in the process of being converted until that time. That's the reason that all these great mysteries could not be given to Luther, could not be given to Wesley, could not be given to the age that has just passed us by, the Pentecostal age. Why? It wasn't time. They were begotten. Now, the person of Christ himself, the Son of Man, you understand, revealing himself in human flesh, it could not have come until now. When the millennium starts, how will the unbelievers be taken off the earth? The unbelievers will go down in the tribulation period with the sleeping virgin and all those others, unbelievers and sleeping virgin, and the remnant of Israel that's to be taken out. Brother Branham, when someone gets on me or steps on my toes, now this might be a good one. Brother Branham, when someone steps on my toes, as the old saying goes, my temper rises. How can I overcome this thing? I know the Lord will have to do it, but what can I do in my heart? I don't want this thing. Then sweeten your temper with prayer. Then make up your mind. There. He says, when I was growing up, I got my mouth mashed in all the time. Now, not mashed potatoes, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about he got his mouth bloodied, had big swelling lips, because he got it punched in a few times. Well, let's just read on. He says, sweeten your temper with prayer, then make up your mind. I don't guess there's too many in the building this morning that ever had any more temper than I did to begin with. Oh, I had a mouth mashed all the time, and I'd taken a lot of meals out of straws. My mother, as you know, was a half-Indian, and my father was an Irishman, a Kentucky Irish at that. And everyone, both of them, had enough temper to fight a buzzsaw. And all the time my mouth was mashed. I was little to begin with, and they'd just pick me up and knock me down. And I'd get up, and they'd knock me down again, till I just got unable to get up anymore. That's always. And then when I got up, I was able to get up, I got knocked down again. They knocked me down again. So that's just the way I had it. I thought, I can never be a Christian. But when the Holy Spirit came into my life, that done it. No more. I had a woman one time. I went to have to cut the lights off, and that woman I had that day I had hair on top of my head. In other words, his hair used to be kind of curly and stuff on top. And she said, "You little kinky-headed idiotic." And I told her, I said, "Woman, you oughtn't to curse like that. Oh, don't you fear God?" And she said, "You little kinky-headed idiotic. If I wanted somebody to talk to me about things like that, I wouldn't get a half-wit like you." Phew, he says. Then she called me a blankety-blankety name. And oh my, if that had been in the past, he said, I always said, a man that would strike a woman wasn't much of a man, wasn't man enough to strike a man. But I might have broke that at that time, calling my mother a bad name like that. But you know what? It never even fazed me. I said, "I'll pray for you." Never bothered. I knowed right then something had happened to me. Yes, sir. Oh my. You know the evils that I done when I was a kid, fighting, almost killed 5 men at one time. Took a rifle loaded with 16 shots, and when them boys beat me because I was a Kentucky and no other reason, I couldn't even hold my head up. One would hold me by the hands like this, and the other one would stand there with a rock in his hand and pound me in the face until I was lifeless. Nothing in the world. They called me a Kentucky squab. Because my mother, when she was young, she sure looked like an Indian, looking at her picture a while ago, and they know that she was a half-Indian. And because I was Kentucky, and her being a squaw, they called me a squab, a Kentucky squab. And I had nothing in the world to do with it, into it. I couldn't help because I was born in Kentucky. I went down there to school, and I didn't have no clothes to wear, and my hair hanging down my neck. And Pop and Mom would... Mom took Pop's old coat that he was married in and cut it up and made me a pair of pants to wear to school my first time. And she dressed me with a pair of white stockings on and a pair of tennis shoes. And they said, "If you don't look like a windy Kentuckian," and all that. And then that went on all my school days. And a couple of boys, because I walked down the road with some little girl and packed her books, they didn't want me to do that. And they met me down there, and they beat me till I was simply unconscious. And I told them if they'd let me go, I promised that I would go straight home. And so they let me They let me loose. They kicked me 4 or 5 times, knocked me down, and scraped my face all over. And I went home like this up through the broom sage field. And I had a little .22 Winchester rifle laying up over the door. Reached up and got that rifle full of bullets. And went right down through the locust thicket and hid by the side of the road till these 5 or 6 boys come along there. Just waited till they come. And when they was coming there, talking said that Kentuckian will realize where he's at from this time on, going on like that. And I stepped up with the hammer and pulled back on the rifle. And I said, "Now, which of you wants to die first so you don't watch the others die?" And they started squealing. And I said, "Don't squeal, because you're all going to die one by one." And I meant it. And just then they started squealing, and I pulled up and snap. The gun snapped. And I throwed another shell in, snap, it snapped. Another shell, snap, it snapped. And I pumped 16 shells on the ground. Every one of them snapped. And then boys running and screaming and diving over the hill and everything. And after they left, I stood there. When I'd get so angry till I wouldn't cry, I would just laugh like an idiot. And tears run out of my eyes. Now that's a temper. And if it hadn't been for God, I'd have been a murderer. And I picked up them shells and put them back in the rifle and pow, pow. They'd shoot just as good as ever. You talk about grace. God watching over that prophet so he wouldn't murder those 5 boys that bashed his face in. He had a temper, but God took it from him. Now, why are we talking about these things? I believe it's time, brother, sister, that we don't put off any longer. You know, each of you, you take inventory in your life, you know the things that God wants from you that you haven't given Him. One of these days we're going home, and he which is filthy will be filthy still. He which has not let go and let God will remain behind. Now, it's not saying you'll be lost, but you'll have to pay your own price because you refuse the price that he has already paid. Brother Branham said the reason why the foolish virgin goes through the tribulation is because they did not count the blood of Jesus Christ strong enough. And so they had to give their own blood. Now in 1 John 5, he said there's water, blood, and spirit. Just as in the natural, you have water, blood, then spirit in a birth. Brother Branham said, so too in the spiritual or in the new birth, there has got to be water, blood, and spirit. Then the person said, "Okay, Brother Branham, then is it true in order for a person to be born again, they have to have those 3 stages of grace?" He said, "Yes." What are those 3 stages of grace? Water, blood, spirit. Justification, which is water. Sanctification, which is the blood of Christ. And then baptism with the Holy Spirit, which is spirit. Justification, sanctification. What is justification? Brother, sister, it's truly having a revelation. A revelation that you're washed by the washing of water by the Word. The water, see? Sanctification. That if I walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin. So what is sanctification? It is separation. Separation. And then finally, an infilling of God's Spirit. Now, let me read. From diseases and afflictions, He said, there are 3 that bear record in heaven. Now, on our conversation, the elements came from Jesus Christ's body when He died. There was water first. Remember they stuck the blade in his chest and out came water. Then there was blood. And finally, spirit. He gave up the ghost. And these 3 make up the new birth. Is that right, ministers? These three elements make up the new birth: water, blood, and spirit. That make up the natural birth when a baby's born. What's the first thing? Water, blood, and life. All the natural things type the spiritual. From God's provided way, He said, God opened up the side of Christ and taken out water, blood, and the spirit for a bride. For Himself. For Christ. How beautiful. And by one spirit, not by one church membership, but by one spirit, we are all baptized into one body and become members of that body. And just as sure as God raised that body in the literal out of the grave, the spiritual body will go in the rapture. Now, these people that think that God has a male spirit and a female spirit, I've read in their papers where they say there's two spirits there. There isn't two spirits. By one spirit are we all baptized into one body. That's why, one of them said that the reason why Jesus had long hair, he said, because he said when God looked down upon, Brother Branham said, when God looked down upon Jesus, He saw both male and female. You talk about a bunch of hogwash. There's one body. Not Jesus has a body and the bride has a body. We're talking about one body and He is the head of that body. By one body, we're all, by one spirit, we're all born into one body. One spirit, one body. Not two spirits, male and female. Not two bodies, Jesus and a bride. But one spirit, one body. We are members of that body. See? And we have to come by way of water, blood, and spirit. Justification, sanctification, and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. From healing and what is cancer, Brother Brown said, for instance, when a baby is born in the world, a baby born a natural birth, what is the three elements that comes from the body? The first is water. Is that right? Blood, is that right? Then life or spirit. Is that true? Water, blood, and spirit, that makes a complete birth. When a man is born again of the Spirit of God, there were three elements that came from the body of Jesus Christ that we go through to be born again of the Spirit of God. Water, blood, and spirit. Is that right? Pierced his side, water and blood and spirit. These three are one. That's the elements we come through. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, the three. Now, if you see all the natural, that's what constitutes the natural birth. That's what constitutes the spiritual birth. Now, we see it's all the natural is like the spiritual. So you see, brother, sister, when his blood came out of his body, went down to the earth, remember, Brother Ram told us, and we saw in the scripture that the seeds, all the seeds that ever would be, were in the earth. Now remember, the earth is a type. And it was washed by what? In the days of Noah? Water. In the days of Jesus, it was sanctified by what? His blood. So what about today? God has graced us with His divine Spirit among us. The earth is ready for a new earth, a rebirth, a new earth, a new heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. From fellowship. Now, notice he says, we come to the water of separation applied by the hyssop, the weed, the common faith. Then what does he do? They turn him then towards the door of the tabernacle. Now, before in there is where the Lord is, in the holy place, on the inside. Now we can even pick it up from the inside of there and go on to the holiest of holies and so forth. But now, let's just take it this way. When he's coming to the door, over the door is seven stripes of blood. Before he has entered into this fellowship, we must recognize that this blood has cleansed him from his sins, which is sanctification, a separation. After the word's been applied, we have received it. Now we go under the blood. There are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. There are three that bear record in earth: 1 John 5:7, the water, the blood, and the Spirit. They are not one, but they agree in one. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are one, but water, blood, and Spirit agree in one, because you can't be justified without being sanctified. You can't have the Father without having the Son. You can't have the Son without having the Holy Ghost. Now, how can you say that? You can't have the Father without having the Son, because the Son was in him. You can't have the Son without having the Father, because the Son couldn't have been birthed. He couldn't have come forth. The very life that's in the Son is the life of the Father. See? Now, you can't have the Father without having the Son. You can't have the Son without having the Holy Ghost. They are one. But when you are justified by faith, you are not sanctified yet. And you cannot be sanctified. And when you're sanctified, then you haven't got the Holy Ghost yet. So they agree in one. They're not one. Now, from Revelation chapter 1, he says, when the natural birth takes place, what's the first thing happens when a woman gives birth to a baby? First thing is water. Second thing is blood. That's right. Next thing is spirit. The baby catches his breath and starts breathing. What? Water, blood, and spirit. That constitutes the natural birth. It also constitutes the spiritual birth. Water, baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, justification by faith, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, water. What's the next thing? Blood. Sanctification. Cleaning up. Getting around. Now, finally from the token. He said, water, blood, and spirit come when a mother gives birth to the baby. The first thing breaks in a normal birth is water. The second thing is blood. And the next thing is life. There come from the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, water, blood, and life. And the whole church, the bride together, has been made up through justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is the token. Now, where are we at? We have seen 4,000 years ago, the earth was washed. In the days of Jesus, the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed. And this hour, we have seen the very presence, the Spirit of God, come back down upon the earth. We must come the same way. Water, the washing of water by the word, justification. The blood, sanctification, which is a separation from the things of the world. And separation from unbelief, come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord, and I will be a father to you. The child, when it comes forth, if it's just the mother issues forth the water, there's no birth yet, is there? And then the blood comes. It could just be a hemorrhage. You don't know. But when that baby comes forth and that life enters that child, you see? And that's what we're waiting for. We're here. We're here. You think of Israel. In closing, you think of Israel. Brother Branham said, that the Feast of Atonement follows the Jubilee. You have the year of Jubilee, and immediately after you have the Feast of Atonement. Paul said that their eyes were blinded for a season. Now the Jubilee, we're in it now. And during the time of the Jubilee, you are given an opportunity to be set free. But if you don't take that opportunity to be set free, what they did was they took you down to the church and they put an awl through your ear. They drove an awl through your ear. Actually, they pierced your ear. And you became a bond slave. And you could never walk free again. Brother, sister, we have this year, from May of this year, 1998, to May of 1999, to be set free. I believe with all my heart, based on what I see by the scripture and what Brother Branham said, that when the Jewish Jubilee is over, the Gentile days are finished. And what do we have? God returns back to the Jews, the atonement, the Feast of Atonement, the Feast of the Tabernacle. What is the Feast of the Tabernacle? His presence. And they'll say, where did you get those nail-scarred hands? And they'll say, in the house of my friends.
But we'll be gone at that time, at a wedding supper for 3.5 years. Now, I have more things to share tomorrow about what's happening with the economy. The things Brother Branham shared with us. Someone asked, you know, in fact, Michael asked me last week, since there's so much in the websites, so much on the internet, a lot of it's funny stuff, just some really goofy ideas, how do you know which things to are real, which things are not? And I said, what we do here on Wednesday nights, you all know, those that come, is that the first thing we do is read the quote from a vindicated prophet. Then we look at the articles of those things which are manifestations of what he spoke. You can't go wrong with that, brother, sister. God spoke it, and when you see the manifestation, that is the interpretation of what? The revelation. So what about all this other stuff? Who cares? Who cares? It doesn't pertain, does it? Nations are breaking. Israel has awakened. The signs that the prophets foretold. The Gentile days is numbered with horrors encumbered. Return, O dispersed, to your own. The day of redemption is here. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up. Your redemption is near. False prophets are lying. God's truth they're denying, that Jesus the Christ is our God. When this revelation is spurned, when God's revelation they spurn, but we'll walk where the apostles have trod. Brother, sister, Enoch walked with God, and then one day he was no more because he was taken up. I believe very soon, we're going home. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we commit, Lord, our body, soul, and spirit. We commit the justification, sanctification, and the infilling of your Spirit, the water, the blood, and the Spirit which were in your Son, which were released on Calvary. For in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhood bodily. And yet that was released from him. And he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he became sin, that we might become the very righteousness of God. Lord God, help us to understand, as there is a natural birth and there's a process for that birth to take place, so is there a spiritual birth and a process for that to take place. And we commit ourselves to that process and to the going home. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.